There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live, education matters to come now. Technology in education, essential or is it just too expensive?
Curriculums.
Fees.
Teacher turnover.
Adult education.
This is Education Matters on Drive Live.
Two guests this afternoon. We have Christine Nasigodzi, who is with us. She's the Director of Innovation at GEMS Education. Back once again. Christine, nice to see you.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you for coming back. We didn't scare you off, which is good news. And also Brendan Fulton is here. He's the principal at Dubai British School. Brendan, good to have you here as well.
Thank you.
So look, so we're going to be talking about technology and education. And there was a byline here. Is it essential or is it a waste of time and money? Clearly the answer to that, it is not a waste of time. The money thing is a different matter, but I wanted to start from ground zero, if you like. The change in technology is omnipresent in our lives. We use it all the time for everything. It is the age that we live in. Kids clearly have to use technology in school. But let me start, Christine, with you. How is technology improving education? There's a simple question to start with.
Sure. I think the use of technology has changed quite a lot, just even within the past 5 years, and for the better. About 5 years ago, when I first started working with the GEMS schools, technology was seen as a critical part of the curriculum, but not necessarily embraced in the same way that it is now. So students, for example, would be told, don't bring your phones to school, or if you do bring your phone, make sure it stays in your backpack. Now the use of mobile technology is deeply embedded in teaching and learning within the schools. And while technology can present some challenges in certain circumstances, it also provides many exciting opportunities for schools. And these allow for additional pathways for delivery of curriculum, as well as additional opportunities for differentiation of learning for students, and different ways for students to express their learning or engage in learning in a classroom setting.
I mean, outside of the classroom setting, technology has changed the way that parents interact with schools as well. Everything from my son's school is through an app on my phone. And I quite honestly miss most of it because I've switched the notifications off because I don't want the battery to run out. But, I mean, it has really changed everything. And you're absolutely right. It seems like it's actually less than 5 years to me. It's the last two, maybe even 3 years that it's really changed. I mean, Brendan, for example, some schools specify a particular type of laptop or tablet that students need to have before they go to school. I mean, this is integrated, but properly integrated now into the curricula, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think the danger is to focus on the hardware and the software, not focus on the intention. We have a very particular philosophy, and I agree with Christine. We don't want our children to feel like they're taking a step back in time when they walk through the threshold of the door. So we don't advocate a particular platform or a particular piece of hardware. We like students to get a feeling for what it's going to be like out there in the real world, as it were. And therefore, we're able to support a variety of different platforms and technology. But the focus within the curriculum is about making it meaningful. And the key for me comes down to student engagement, providing them with opportunities through a multitude of different channels, as Christine said, to be able to access the curriculum, present the materials, research, collaborate.
And Christine, I guess, how are you demonstrating, though, that this technology works and it's helping education? Is there a tangible way that we can see it's improving education standards and it is getting results?
It would depend on the circumstances. So we encourage our schools to take a very focused and strategic approach to their use of technology. With having a really solid strategy and plan, it's absolutely within the remit of the schools to be able to benchmark the impact of the work that they're doing. So I can give an example. One of our schools is Kindergarten Starters. It's a CBSE Indian curriculum school in Garhud. And they have really embraced technology. And one of the things that the principal endeavored to do when she started at the school, her name's Asha Alexander, incredible woman, 5 years ago, she said, we need to increase student-to-student interaction. We need more play in the classroom. And we need to ensure that children are really engaging with one another and with their teacher, not sitting down at their desks copying something off of the board. And that was a bit of a shift for the teaching staff that she had. Now, the question would be, well, how does technology get involved in this, or how do we leverage technology in this? And then how would we measure the impact of that? She brought in the use of tablets, but had the students not using the tablets for skills practice, but actually to document their learning. They use an app called Kinteract to send photos of their learning to their parents in real time, to build digital portfolios for themselves, and to capture their play with one another. And their language attainment scores have risen dramatically, particularly within the past 3 years in their kindergarten, as well as other grades.
So the parents love that because they can see their kids at school. Pictures of the kids always go down well with parents and grandparents, and the kids must be loving that. As well. So that's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. When's the ideal time to start bringing technology into education now, and how much technology impacts on learning? In other words, what percentage of the curricula is using technology? What percentage is using textbooks? What percentage is, I don't know, sports activities, you know, other pastimes? How do you balance it, Brendan? Mm.
I think that's the key, is the balance and the sort of equal measure of fear and pleasure amongst parents and teachers when it comes to technology. So getting that balance right is important. To answer your question of when is the right time, I guess it would be the same answer as when is the right time to teach children how to read, and that's when they're ready, when they're able. So examples of using iPad technology to document learning journals are very positive in foundation stage, for example. So kids as young as 4 years old are using iPads to document their learning and to make sense of it and to establish a trail. And then throughout the school, it's difficult to find quantitative measures to determine the success or otherwise of the use of technology. But you look for those qualitative successes. You look for the student engagement. You look for the opportunities that they're creating for students, and constantly keep an eye on that balance, making sure that you're not seeing technology as the means to the end, but part of the journey, really, which is important.
I guess I'm quite keen to get a response from both of you on this one. Lots of parents are already quite worried about their children having too much screen time, whether that's TV when they get home, iPad allowance that they can do once they've done their homework, or playing computer games. How do you tackle this in terms of introducing more screen time, essentially, in the school?
Well, one thing I would say is we're not necessarily introducing more screen time. We're introducing better screen time. It's always fascinating to me to hear parents talk about screen time, and I am also a parent, and I definitely have some concerns with how my children, you know, might or might not spend their time online. But it's really critical that we think about purposeful screen time and less purposeful screen time. Entertainment is fine. I mean, I enjoy chilling out with Netflix as much as anyone after work, after my children go to bed, and it's perfectly fine for them to enjoy playing games online too. But we really have to separate what is the intent behind this online learning, what is the purpose to this, and how is this actually supporting the children in their learning rather than hindering it. So, you know, some examples of really purposeful screen time can include work that's being done by students creating mods on Minecraft. I saw an incredible example just this past weekend or 2 weekends ago at Maker Day Abu Dhabi, which was an event that some of the Abu Dhabi schools ran, where a group of students from our own English high school, Alain, created a mod on Minecraft using Tinker as a programming language that was supposed to reflect the development of Alain in 2030, what the city would look like in 2030. So to do that, they had to access the city's 2030 plans. They needed to think about what that would look like in their hometown. And then they needed to engage in programming, testing their program, getting feedback from others. And it's something that I'd actually like to roll out to additional schools within our network. So if that's how children are spending their time online, that's something that's actually really great. If it's, you know, watching somebody play Minecraft online, then that's probably not the best use of time. So Minecraft is definitely a great example of one of those double-edged swords that can be used for really great purposes or not.
So if your child is in front of an iPad and you say, what are you doing? And they say Minecraft, you need to take a second look, see if they're watching somebody doing Minecraft or if they're actually doing something with Minecraft.
You can usually tell by the sounds that are coming from the iPad.
Yeah, mine have caught onto that. They wear headphones now. It always confuses me. We're talking to Christine Nazagotsi from GEMS Education, Brendan Fulton from Dubai British School, Education Matters. It is about technology this afternoon. If you have a question or an observation to make, you can always contact us if you like. 423 1010 is the phone number, or via the app for free to text, or the usual way, 4001.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye.
103.8.
Strive Live, and it is 10 to 5 Sunday afternoon. Listen back to a recent edition of Education Matters. From just a couple of months ago through 5 o'clock today, technology and education is what we've been talking about. Money, well spent or not.
Curriculums.
Fees.
Teacher turnover.
Adult education.
This is Education Matters on Drive Live.
Do you know, Tarek's texted in, and this is something I've wondered about for some time, and I guess this is going to be present in a few years' time when we know more about our eyesight in relation to the number of screens that we spend so much time looking at now. It's not just don't watch the TV for too long, your eyes will go square. It is now phones, it is tablets, it is laptops, it is everything else. But it's a reasonable point, I think, and I don't know what the studies say about this, if anything, Christine. Wouldn't screen time at school plus at home affect the eyesight is a concern that Tarek texts in with. I wonder how much information there is about that now. What do you know about that?
Well, I know I've started wearing reading glasses on a regular basis.
So there you go, Tarek. That's what it is.
But I don't know if that's age or screen time in my case.
Yeah.
What I can say is this. We don't want children to be glued to their screens. We want screens or technology. And sometimes technology, incidentally, doesn't involve a screen. Mm. We can be building robots. We can be soldering electronics, which does take sometimes some pretty fine glasses, too. But there are a lot of forms of technology in our schools that are used for creation that don't necessarily involve looking at a screen. So we don't want our children to be hooked up to a screen 24/7. But as we always have, we would certainly encourage parents to keep an eye on their children's eyesight.
Quite
we'll do
right.
screenings at school.
And to take regular breaks. And all the standard kind of, I suppose, advice applies. Natalie, you brought something up during the break. We were talking about this. Your mother is a primary school head teacher,
yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
She, in Manchester. And you made a point that some kids there have the latest iPads, for example. They take those to school. Some kids don't have them. And there is a divide there. And I wonder, Brendan, if... Here's a text from Parth for you. Are children getting enough interpersonal interaction with the use of technology in classrooms? Very often, technology is a solitary affair. And I guess that Parth's concern there is a legitimate one.
It is a legitimate one. And I think, I think it's a fallacy, to be honest with you, that... kids want to be engaged with technology 24/7. Children sitting at home would far rather go and throw a ball outside with their dad than sit on their iPad. The fact of the matter is that they engage with technology because they're bored. And when we were younger, we'd play a board game or read a comic. These days, they pick up the iPad. At school, we see the same thing. A group of 10-year-old kids would far rather do a science experiment around a table and watch the reaction of chemicals than they would engage with technology. So again, it's about balance, and schools have a responsibility to make parents feel confident that they're using technology responsibly, they're using it meaningfully, and they're blending it really well with that interpersonal time that students want, students need, and students should be getting.
And Christine, we have a text in from Raza, and there's concerns here about whether teachers might eventually be replaced. The text sort of says, educational programs on these iPads or tablets analyze student performance, and then the data is taken in. But really, in real life, you need to analyse the behavioural changes and the effect it has on the pupils. So can technology ever substitute the observational effect of a teacher?
No, absolutely not. Technology can enhance and inform teachers' observation. It can help us make more critical decisions in a classroom because it can give you data from much larger groups of student sets, so that you can see what pathways may have worked in one particular school or one particular setting rather than just relying on your own experience. But what it really does is it changes what it means in some ways to be a teacher. You're the instructional leader. You're the coach. You're the person who is helping the child guide their learning pathway and build their own learning ecosystem. It's much more than delivering content.
There's one final question that I wanted to put to you, and it is simply this. We're in a technological age. We're going to have more technology going forwards than we have now. It's everywhere that we look. Do we have enough technology education in schools if you consider the jobs that we don't know will exist in the future and the industries that we don't know will or may exist in the future, Brendan?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there's two sides to it. First of all, I think we could be witnessing a bit of a technological revolution, really. We saw statistics recently in the UK where sales of e-readers have dropped through the floor and sales of the paperback novel have gone through the roof. So I do think that in everything is about balance and addressing that balance, but that education is vital. The idea that we're educating kids for jobs that don't exist is true on the one hand, but on the other hand, we still see the majority of our students going off to study engineering, medicine, law, marketing. It's not necessarily the careers that are changing, it's just the way that they're carried out that are changing, and I think that would be true for the last few hundred years as new developments take place. Technology is just the most latest.
Christy, what about you? You're a director of innovation. How would you answer that question?
I would absolutely agree with what Brendan said. I think what we need to do is teach for a degree of flexibility. We need our students to be adaptable. We need them to be able to learn new skills in real time. They'll need to shift jobs potentially 8 or more times over the course of their career. And so being able to assess the skills that they need to do something and to adopt those skills quickly will be incredibly important for them. Sometimes we like to call this flexpertise, but it's that ability to become an expert very quickly in different areas.
That's word of the day, flexpertise. I didn't think I'd learn a new word, but I have, and I appreciate it. Christy Nesagudzi is the Director of Innovation at GEMS Education. Good to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Brendan Fulton is the principal at Dubai British School. Same to you, Brendan. Thank you for coming in.
It's the 4 to 5 on Drive Live.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.